Praise the Lord Jesus. Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. We're talking about how to break the power of the enemy in your life. Now then, there's an enemy out there. God put him there. He's there, and it's the devil and his demons. But I've come to realize that this beast, he is on this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth a couple thousand years ago and completely defeated him, but he didn't annihilate him. He left him here. And he left him here so he could use him. The devil is the one that makes us sick. The devil is the one that kills us. He's a destroyer. He's the one that you want to be free of. Because when he gets legal right to you or your family, he will do devastating things to you. He will torment you. He will afflict you. And God is no respecter of persons. If you don't do what he says, he will turn that beast loose on you. And when he does, you will not like what he does to you, because he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But you must remember that if you put God first and walk holy in obedience to his word, you don't even have to be concerned about the devil. Let's come to the Father in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, as we teach the word today, we ask you to reveal to us the truths of the word and show us exactly what we need to know so we can be the children that you want us to be, and how to get these things done. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is a powerful book. We're going to look at these the prayers that Paul prayed, and in the first three chapters of the book Ephesians, and the authority of the believer is revealed more in the book of Ephesians than anywhere else in the Bible that I've been able to find. Now, these prayers, we can pray these prayers for ourselves, and we can put our names in these places where Paul used their names. And if you will ask for revelation and wisdom, just like Paul did for these people, you will receive it. Now then, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's see what he says here. Ephesians 1:18, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, where the you is, that's where you need to take your Bible and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 and 18. In these verses, you need to put your name or whosoever name you want to put in there. But Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, if you want to begin to get this spirit of wisdom and of the revelation and in the knowledge of Christ, then you're going to have to pray. Now, you can put your name there and ask the Father to give you the spiritual understanding and knowledge and wisdom and revelation, and he will do it. But if you don't go and seek him and pray and ask him to do these things, you probably will never understand these things. And then he says in verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Now you, as he's talking about you there again, put your name there, or whosoever name you want to put in there, that you may know what is the hope of this calling, of his calling, and what the riches of this, the glory, the glory of the inheritance of the saints. Now, I don't think most of us know about the glory of the inheritance that belongs to us as children of God. And also he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Now, I know I didn't know these things for many years of my life. Now, and also he says, not only that, but he says, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, God has no limitations in power. So if you've got a limit as to what you think God can do, I was just reading in the Old Testament the other day about when Moses was bringing the children of Israel out. That's a very, very interesting story when you read all of it. And I've spent many hours recently reading and studying all of those things. But I was thinking about how Moses had bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt and bringing them to the promised land. Now, he went through all kinds of trials and tests in Egypt. God hardened the Pharaoh's heart every time so that there would have to be another plague, another miracle. Now, God was doing this, and it says, and God was hardening the heart of Pharaoh. I mean, obviously, he was doing it because he said he was. And he was doing it so he could show his people his mighty power. If the first time Moses went over there and said, Pharaoh, I demand that you let the people of God go. And he said, okay, no problem, let them go. Then there wouldn't have been any conflict. There would have been no problem. But God wouldn't have been able to demonstrate his power to his people. So he hardened Pharaoh's heart. All kinds of plagues happened. I mean, then they come over to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were after them. And God tells Moses, Moses, do something. Hold up your staff. And so Moses held up his staff, and the Red Sea opened, and they crossed. And then God fed the people with manna. Only a few days' trip walking to the Promised Land. They eat manna, and they grumble and complain. Eat manna and grumble and complain, just like us today. Free manna falling from heaven. And it's not the right amounts, or anything that could go wrong. These people grumble and complained about it. So they get over there, and then God takes them up to the Promised Land and tells them to go in. And they go in the Promised Land, and they look at it, and they say, it's truly a land flowing with milk and honey. But they said, we can't take this land. These people are too big. They're giants. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, but we can't do it. It would have been better if we'd have died in the wilderness. So God said he was upset with this bunch. He said, I will judge you with the words that you've spoken out of your own mouth. He said, you said it would be better for you to die in the wilderness. He said, I'm going to send you into the wilderness. So these people went out in the wilderness, and they began to grumble and complain. And they had manna, but they wanted meat. And as they prayed and asked for meat, Moses prayed and asked God, said, the people wants meat. God says, okay, tomorrow I'll have them meet. And Moses couldn't even grasp this. He had seen the Red Sea separate. He had seen all these things. But he said, God, you're going to have enough meat for all of this mass of people to eat tomorrow? How are you going to do this? It's amazing how little faith we have in God. Even after we've seen him do awesome miracles like Moses. God spoke to Moses there in the Word and says, has my arm become short? Does that mean I can't do it? Moses had no idea how God was going to do this. But the next day, there was quail. They came from everywhere, every direction. There was millions of them. There had to be millions because there was millions of people. There was probably somewhere between 2 and 5 million people. The scripture said there was over 600,000 adult males. So you got 600,000 adult males, you got 600,000 adult females. And so you got 1.2 million plus people. And then they got children. And who knows, back in those days, everybody had 2 to 12. And so who knows, there might have been 3, 4, 5 million people. Easy. And then there are animals. God said, no problem, there'll be enough meat. And so they sent a quail. So these people had grumbled and complained. God sent the quail, and they ate the quail. But it says because of their grumbling and complaining, God didn't like it. And he sent the quails, but as they ate the quails, the plague came upon them. And God sent a plague because of their grumbling and complaining. And many of them died with the quail meat in their teeth. You think, wow. You know, we don't have any idea what God can or will do. If we sit down and read this book, we read these stories like we don't believe these stories. We don't believe this stuff could possibly happen to you and me. We just don't believe this book. But this book has some serious stuff in it. Now then, here he's telling us that we need to pray. And we need to ask God for this spiritual wisdom, revelation, and understanding. And we need to understand what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. When you begin to see the mighty power of God, and you realize that you're a child of His, and you walk in obedience to His word, you don't have to worry about God chasing you or disciplining you with nothing. He only disciplines those that are disobedient. As long as you walk in obedience, there's no discipline, because you don't need it. When you're okay and you walk in obedience to His word, there's no problem. You can, when you get a hold of the fact of how powerful God is, and that all He asks you to do as His child, in this Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16, 17, 18, and 19, and 20, all you've got to do is ask God in faith for whatever you want, and these wonderful things will be yours when you ask Him in faith. And Paul said, he says now in one of these others, let's see, I forgot what scripture I was going to, it's chapter 3. In chapter 3, we go to the other verse. That other one's chapter 1. This is in chapter 3, and it starts in verse 14. And it says, "For this is another prayer that Paul prayed for the people. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you," there is this prayer he's praying, "that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Now, if Paul prays a prayer like that for these people, don't you think we ought to use this as an example to break the power of the enemy in people's lives, so that people will know who this great and awesome Jesus is, and that the devil has been defeated and he has no power over us whatsoever? And so instead of walking in sin and doing all the crazy things we do to abuse our bodies and our physical beings and live in sin, we ought to take authority over the devil and kick him out of our lives and walk a pure, clean, holy life before God. And then he says in verse 17 there, when he said, in verse, I'll go back up to verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, you have to get a hold of this, and you have to believe this by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, how do you get rooted and grounded in love? Only one way. Hide the word in your heart. It's so simple to learn the truth of God's word, and it's so easy to lose it. You can get rooted and grounded in this, and you can get away from it for a short period of time, and you can be drawn right back into the devil's snare.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.